the day is arriving when you will have to leave your body. So we have been identified with the world outside so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. Now the only remedy is we should know how to leave your body at will. So masters always tell us what they bring us. They say first of all that there is a maker of all this universe. He also made your body in the womb of the mother. So, Master said the same thing, they say, love God and all those whom God has created. So all scriptures when you see, look through them, they enjoin this thing. God is love and love is God. Tenth Guru says, hear ye all, lend me your ears, I tell you the truth. Whether you bear the labels of one school or the other, the way back to God is also through love. God is love and love is innate in our souls. Now, instead of that love being had a boost by coming in contact with all love which is controlling us in the body, that being attached to the outside things, which is termed attachment. Love knows giving, and attachment means squeezing, dragging something, usurping something for one's own self. Vast difference between the two. So they bring the religion of love. Kabir asks all masters, I say, Kabir says, well, love thy man body is the only golden opportunity in which you can love God. How? When you are brought in contact with God, which is controlling you in the body. The outer expression of which is light and sound. So if someone we have got love for the world, which is called attachment, that's the reason we go where we are most attached. In man body, we could have contacted God within us, which is all love. Had that become the ruling passion, then naturally after that we would have gone to the lap of the Father. The reason of our coming again and again, ever since we were separated from God, we have not yet been successful to go back to our home. So all masters tell us like that. All those who are on the spiritual way, St. Paul said, what you should serve one another with love. Blessed one who serves his fellow men, he is the true lover of God. So one and all, you see, Taylor said, he, in his poem, he prayeth best who loveth best. Saint John also says, he that loveth not God, loveth not, knoweth not God. One and all. Bible says so, love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. So all masters who came before, that man God also desires that the controlling power keep his hand in the body, and we also, the children of God, in the same body. If we torment anybody, how can we know God? We want to meet God. but the love God residing in man bodies and his children residing also there, you are tormenting them, you are squeezing their blood, how can God meet with you? So Puri says, torment not anybody if you care to love God, to see God, to meet God. One devotee prayed God, O God, just would you kindly pay visit to my home? He said, yes, I'll come. He made all preparations, cleaned his house, laid on the bed of roses for God to come. He also cleaned clothes and sat at the door outside, waiting for God to come. From morn till night, he was there. And God did not come. One old man did come who could not walk properly. He was asking, I am hungry, will you kindly give me a loaf of bread? He passed by. At night, devotee prayed, God, you promised to come to my house and you have not come, because I did come. I was asking for a loaf of bread from you, and you did not give it. Unless our inner eye is open to see God in everybody, to see His children, we're all brothers and sisters in God, we cannot know God. So love is the main thing in all affairs. Tell Guru says, God is in the whole world, and world is in Him. If you tease anybody, you torment anybody, mind that God will take, He will punish you for that. So truth remains, when God wanted to be many, there was light. And that light is the cause of all creation that resides in every heart. That light we have to come to know. We are all children of light. So light take care that the light within you is not darkness. You see? So light is there. So love knows service and sacrifice. Whom you love, you want to give everything to him. Love knows giving, as I told you. And attachment wants everything to your own self. That is what difference between the two. Kabir says, so long you are in the body, in Punjabi language, body is called a day. Day word means also to give. He says, so long as you are in the body, give, give and give. Man is one who lives for others. Animals live for their own self and for those who are his children. If we behave the same way, how can we be better than the animals? One poet says, look to the face of the animal, it is just like facing the earth. If that remains all true earthly, that is all right. But God made man's face upward. Look upward. Rise above this physical body. So now, you see, this body is the true temple of God, in which we reside and also God resides. The temples which are made outside, they are made out of the model of man's body, dome-shaped. You see, in that they put in the symbol of God made out of stone, some gods. In Mecca, you see, you have kept there the quarry kept by Khalilullah Ibrahim. That's a remembrance of that prophet. And these are made symbols kept there for the love of God, for remembrance of God. They are both equal. Now the one queries, which is better of the two? Both are kept with the same symbols. The temple has the same light, the same. The mosque has the same light. The church has the same light. All holy places have the same light. Which is better of all of them? That's the only symbol kept there in sweet remembrance of God. Such light, light is the, which is seen as the outer expression of God. So he replies, he is better of the two in whom that light is effulgent. That is, light is radiating. That is better of all these. So masters tell us, you see, in all religions, you know the highest degree which we are supposed to have is to know God, and the degree is given for a Sikh who becomes a Khalsa. And definition is given to see the great conflagration of light of God. Only he is Khalsa, not that who is bearing the label of that ism, but who sees inner eyes open to see the light of God. A Hindu is one, truly speaking, when the light which he makes outside, in worship, in other things, or in the temples he goes and lights the candles. He is not the true Hindu, he is the true one who lights that candle within, which is already there. Kabir says, there is one lamp burning within you without candle, without the wick and without the aisle. We are the children of light, take heed that the light within you is not darkened. So this all master tell us. So differences are there. These are man-made. One truth is working at the basis of all religions, of all master's teachings. Whether he is a believer in God or not, both ways. These differences came up as a result of our own whims, excuse me if I say. One rishi stood up with the, what you say, result that it's all God. Our soul is also God, fully. Then the other came up, the follower of Shankara, Ramanuja. He said, there's still covering up of what you say. They are covering down the body. This is physical, this is astral, I mean, there are pranas, there are manomay, there are conscious, I mean, intellectual, and there is of peace and jaya. Still it is a second. So when they went on, when they saw that very expression radiating through a man's body, he said he is above all. So these all differences are due to them. They came up. Why? On account of narrow-mindedness and bigotry. As also due to climatic influences or customs prevailing. I may give you one or two examples to show that. In Arab there's dust of water. Prophet Muhammad came up. He saw that the water is very less, the depth of water here. He said, all right, when you can wash your hands, feet and face, that is sufficient to say the prayer of God, prayer. When there was no water whatsoever, then he said, he had the custom, you see, tayammum, that is, besmear your hands and feet with the earth and sit for prayer. In the countries where water is in abundance, they say, unless you take a bath, you cannot say, your prayer is not accepted. So this difference is due to the climatic influence. Means when you sit for prayer, for the sweet memories of God, you sit wide awake. not sleeping. In the Christian churches, you find to sit bareheaded is a sign of respect. You have to go to the Sikh temples, they think that the sit head with covered head, this is a sign of respect. So difference is about the custom prevailing, those both mean the same thing, to sit respectful. You follow my point? So on account of narrow-mindedness and bigotry and custom prevailing and climatic influences, these differences are there, and these are man-made. So temples, as I told you, true temple is man's body, in which the light of God is effulgent. You see, all these temples have two aspects. When God wanted, I want me to be many, so ringing radiation came out of that. The two aspects of light and sound are the outward expressions of the love, of the existence of God. So they have made tables out of the man body, dome shaped, and put in light and sound. Simple there. In churches, no shape, they put in light and sound, principle there. In churches, when you go, light, they lit the light already lighting, and the bell is going on ringing already. In the Hindu temple you go, those who enter, they light the candle and also ring the bell themselves who enter. So these are only meant, you see, two symbols kept in the outer temples and churches, etc., to show that such like light and such like sound is within you, reverberating. O man, whom you see from outside, I am a hidden treasure within you, why don't you find me? This is Quran says. All others also say, there are treasures of divinity within you, why not dig it up? One Bhukha saint says, the world there is nobody hungry. Only this knot of the physical and our soul being under the control of mind and outward faculties, this is it. If we don't know how to unravel it. That is why we cannot find, the God is within us. We are seeking outside. How can we succeed? So all masters lay much stress on that. They say, body is the temple of God. If you want to find Him, you will find Him only within you, which is the controlling power. Now, outer religions aim at what? They are preparation of the ground, I would say. Man is a social being. He must have some social body to live in. So they teach us to have a life of ethical life. In our religion, you say, although their outer forms and rituals are different, but they all enjoin what is true life. Truth is above all, and true living is above truth. So we have kept this man body outwardly very clean, but we should keep the hearts also pure. We spend thousands of dollars for the outer cleanliness, but what we have done to clean our hearts? Blessed is the heart that are pure, pure as heart, for they shall see God. Whose mind is defiled, and whole everything is defiled. Whose mind is pure, everything is pure. If you keep it filthy, cloth or anything, bad odor to come out and should the whole atmosphere of the room. So we should look after people are or after outer cleanliness, they should have the inner cleanliness. If they want that God, who is already there, He will manifest His form, His appearance, make manifest when their heart is pure. So all masters say like that. So spirituality, what it is, actually speaking now, the world religion also means the same thing. They don't mean the outer isms or the social body that we are carrying, that's right. The word religion means free, means back, leisure to bind, to withdraw our attention from all outside and bind with God ourselves. This is called religion. This is called, truly speaking, spirituality. Word yoga also comes from the root, yuj. That is to bind back our soul back to God. So, what is the highest religion in the world then? Outer forms, they are, Master, don't touch them, because there are already so many, more than 700 already. So that is the first step we have taken. But for the purpose for which we have taken, we should see that. First, as one who sees the light of God, a Hindu is the one who sees the light of God, a Mohammedan also sees who sees the light of God, and Christian also the same who sees the light of God. So which is better and which is happy too? So that man's body is blessed from it, that radiance, ring radiance, is radiated. So, the highest religion is what? What Guru Nanak defines, we are all children of God. We are reading in one class, bearing different labels on the body. Purpose is the same, to know God. The ultimate goal is to have right way of living. Our livelihood should be earned by sweat of brow. Our lives should be pure, and to know God. See, that all masters who came the path, they had the same teaching underlying. Guru Arjan broke the ice, I would say. The scriptures of various masters you'll find in their own books alone. But in the sixth scripture, which was compiled by Guru Arjan, he compiled as many masters' sayings as he could lay hands on in one volume. That is to mean the whole object was to unite all mankind in the silken bonds of love and not create schism. That is what the master always do. They come to unite, not to disunite. The whole purpose of, they bring the religion of love to mankind. They say, who created you, have love for that. Whatever has been created by him also, have love for that. It is told that Moses was passing by in the wilderness. There was one shepherd praying God, oh God, if you were hungry, I would have given the milk of these sheep today. Oh God, if you felt cold, I would have just worn the wool of the sheep and given you made a coat for you to wear around. You were going like that. And Moses passed by, are you a heretic? What are you talking? Can God drink your milk? He was sitting in love of God. To love, no, I bounce. God looks to the heart from which those words are coming. He began to cry, oh God, I have displeased you. And while crying, he went into within. And God appeared, said, look here, I'll also drink your milk. I'll also wear your clothes. And then Moses, when he came back, sat in meditation inside, God appeared to him, told him, look here, I have sent to you to unite those who are not united with me, not those who are united to break away from me. Go and ask for whom? Forgive me, you know? So love knows service and sacrifice. Love knows giving. And only we know, I am not talked about, a little I gave in the morning about meditation. Tomorrow I will submit to you what these masters give. The third talk I will again give you, where God resides within you, how scriptures maintain it. So my point is, you see, if we know how to give to others, then everybody will be happy. So master's way is sometimes to give direct talk and sometimes by means of parables. Christ also did that. It is said in the Puranas that Vishnu, the Lord of maintenance, invited all gods and those pushers, they are not gods, gave them a feast. The feast was served, food was served, and the gods also took their place, sat down, and the others also sat down. And Lord Vishnu stood up, said, look here, gentlemen, all this food for you. Eat to your heart's content. But my one condition should be observed. And what is that? Don't bend your elbows to eat the food. Those who are not gods, they thought over it, they said, stay here now. If we do not move our elbows, how can we eat food? They could not come give, left his place in disgust. Told that Lord Vishnu had played a mockery. And the other two gods sat down, he said, these are the words of Lord Vishnu, must be something at the bottom. For a while they came, it struck them, well, it is very easy. Let others, make others eat. Why bend it, but let yours remain as it is, arms, let others eat. The result was, everybody ate. Why we are unhappy? We want to make ourselves happy at the cost of others. We want to be wealthy at the cost of others. We won't let anybody die of hunger, we will never die of hunger. If we see other men rich, then you will also become. So giving, you see, love knows giving, and sacrifice also is necessary. So this is the religion, outer religion, I would say, which masters who came from time to time to guide the child humanity, and the inner way to know oneself and to know God. So this is strictly speaking to liberate us from the entanglements of mind, intellect, outgoing faculties and body. This is and contact with the God is called spirituality. It is no spiritism, no spiritualism, no hypnotism and no mesmerism. And outer religion, as I told, is a religion of love. If you love God, God is that sin in your heart, you must love Him. Those whom you see you do not love, how can you say, no, you do not see, you love it. So these are the, what is called spirituality in few words. Details are sufficiently long, but few words. So this morning I gave you only the kernel point of it. This is the casing part of it. So tomorrow, when we hear what time will be announced, to give you further two talks, three talks, whatever would be necessary, to bring home what is the two way back God home, you see, as described by all masters.
Good evening and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you listened to was the last 30 minutes of Master's talk, True Spirituality. It was given on October 8, 1972, in New York City. Our reader tonight is Pradeep Sethi.
Good evening. We continue with the question and answer session from The Light of Kirpal. Last time I stopped midway through chapter 56, titled Prevention is Better Than Cure. And for the sake of continuity, I will be repeating a couple of short questions. Devotee, I'm sorry, my mind is so dense, but for example, when I drive people to satsang, then there are some who are very difficult, like an old lady is not quite right, and so she will impose on me to take her home first. She won't ride with this one and all that sort of thing. That makes a lot of problems for me. Master, look here. The main thing Kabir says, if you go to meet a saint, don't take anybody with you. When you go to meet a saint, don't take anybody with you, just rush in. You reach, everybody should try to reach satsang. But you are not responsible for everybody. If convenient, you may take one or two. You see, devotee, I thought I have a car and they don't, so I should share. Master, that comes with that very question of give and take. You say somebody is not well, to help them is all right. That's another thing you do in your routine life. But why be wasting some time here and there? When you go to pick up someone, you will have to wait. All right, coming, I'm just doing this, just wait a minute, and then, I'm sorry, I'm late. Time is wasted, is it not? Saying they are sorry or being sorry, let them be quite ready at the door when you arrive. That's the remedy. Or you will have, just wait, I am in the bathroom, then you cannot leave him or her, and if you do leave him, it reflects so badly. So, those who want to go, accompany you, should be ready, each man at his door. Devotee, and if they are not, all right, leave them one day, let them learn to be punctual. Punctuality pays, you see. You are doing your job out of service, love. But if you are detained here and there, and all the time you are thinking, oh, he has not come, why is he delaying? The whole burden is on your mind. You go to the satsang with a burdened mind. Is it not a pity? To help others is all right. But if the others are a burden on your shoulders like this, it's better not to have it. They should be ready. The one, two, or three you are bringing should be ready at the door. I think this will avoid delay. But each man should take care of himself. You may take one or two. Those who are incapacitated, I mean not fit, that's another thing. They always should be ready if, when you arrive, they are just preparing, washing their hands, taking this and that. Your time is wasted. Sometimes you may be out of sorts, not loving, and after some time, you become annoyed and say, what is this? Is it not so? Very trifling things, I tell you. Are they not trifling? Devotee, yes, but they mount up. Master, well, little added here, little poison there. That is sufficient to kill a man. What do you think about this story? Devotee, I think everybody has something like this. Master, surely to help others is good, but they should be ready if they are going. Devotee, that's the problem. Master, what for? If there's any problem, that can be discussed, not on the way, but at another time. devotee, then I must be more firm. Master, no, no. The others also should feel the responsibility and improve. They are simply saying, oh, you have become very haughty because you are telling them. Devotee, that's right. Master, is it not? This mind, you see, controls everybody in a way that he does not know. Very crafty. Now, you've started with this very good intention of taking them. Now they'll come here. So, Kabir says, when you go to meet a saint, don't take anybody with you. Put your steps onwards, don't step back. Always go ahead. Let come who comes. They've said these words after trying so many things, you see. The man who goes to try again and again, what has been tried by hundreds of men already is a what? Devotee, fool, chuckles. Master, I need not say. You see, the intentions should be good. And the others should also behave like that. If you are taking them very kindly, you have got a car, you can help others, but others who are a burden on you, then they should be ready at the door. No talking. When you reach the door, hello, you have come? Come on, sit down. Should stop if you have how many, four, five, six people that you take, and for each you have to make hello first. These things can be remedied. Prevention is better than a cure. Again, that very solution comes up. Next chapter, Spiritual Healing and Other Psychic Powers, February 20, 1971, Morning Darshan at Dehradun. Question. Master, can we affect each other in meditation if we are in a group meditation? For example, in sending thoughts of love to each other, each one, will they be affected? Master, do you have enough to spare to be distributed to others? If you have, then it's all right. Otherwise, you will become bankrupt. You have no money in your bank or in your hand, and you issue checks. If you love God, soul is of the same essence as that of God, and He resides in every heart. Naturally, you will have love for everybody. If you have become very much charged, you need not even direct your attention. As by radiation, the others will have it. By exerting, you'll feel bankrupt and quite vacant. That is why I always say that I don't advocate healing. The people who are doing healing exert. They send love, they send good thoughts, healing thoughts, they become bankrupt and exert in that way. They feel depleted and they have to recoup. The higher form of healing is always good. Those who may even think of a master can be healed. You remember during Christ's life, one lady touched the hem of his garment and was healed. He felt and said, who has touched me? If you have money in your bank, well and good. If you have $1,000 and you give away checks for $2,000, what will happen? You follow? It is a good idea to have sympathy for all, but if you love God, God resides in them. Naturally, your love will go to them, or by radiation, the others will have it. You may do one thing, you may pray to God, oh God, help others. That's something else. With the little money with you, or little water in your tank, do you want to distribute it in that way? Do you follow what I'm saying? It is a good idea to have good sympathies, loving thoughts, regard for others. That's all right, but don't exert. You may have good thoughts for all. I told you the other day, when in my master's time I used to go visit people, those who were not initiated made a show of those people. When he comes, the sick will be relieved. It did happen, so, and people complained to my master that I'm showing miracles. So Master said, no, he does not show miracles. It is the radiation that people get. Do you follow me? Such like radiation is all right. to have good thoughts for everybody is a good idea. Pray God to give peace to all, that's another thing. And moreover, still further, Guru Nanak, who is considered to be Word made flesh, prayed, "Peace be unto all the world over under thy will, O God." He did not exert himself. "Peace be unto the world under thy will, O God." Once you have become the doer, naturally you'll exert using what you have. "Under thy will, O God," is the best way. So have good wishes for all. We're all brothers and sisters in God, but by radiation that power helps and doesn't make you bankrupt. By exertion, naturally you can do good to others. After that, you'll feel exhausted. A higher form of healing is wanted. By radiation, let everybody be helped. If you have enough perfume within you, everybody will get it without your wishing for it. So I'm not against good wishes for all people over, but don't be the doer. Exerting your own shoulders with the little water you have, pray for them. That's all right. Devotee, sometimes a healer says when he's exhausted, he gets refilled with new power afterwards. Master, only when they feel bankrupt. First, they feel wanting, then they refill, not before. And if they do not refill, then the masters used to heal by radiation always. Those who thought of him were healed. That's the safer way. Once someone wrote to me from France, "I hear you are not in good health. I will heal you from here." I told him, "You cannot do it." And I explained why. A weaker man will be affected by you, not a stronger man. You cannot influence one who is stronger than you. You follow me? How can you affect a man who is stronger than you? You may influence the weaker. You may heal others who are weaker in will than you. So I wrote to him that he would not be able to do it. He tried with all his powers but could do nothing. You can say, "O Master, help her, O God." That's another thing. It once happened in my life that some people, I need not mention who, engaged certain people, giving them all the money they wanted to sit at midnight in the outer open places to do harm to me. It can be done, but their efforts did not affect me. Once I was traveling on a train and a man came up who was reading others' thoughts. He read 1, 2, 3, 4. I was also sitting in that compartment on the train. He told me to keep something in my mind and he would read it. "You cannot do it," I told him. This was long, long before I met my master. But he insisted, and others also insisted, that I keep something in my mind so that he could read it. All right, I agreed, do it. He tried but could not. He said, "I failed today." So the stronger man can affect others, the weaker man cannot. On the weaker, you can have some effect. All the same, this is no spirituality. These supernatural powers come by concentration. But if you are engaged in them, your higher power is stopped. These supernatural powers are the slaves of the concentration and meditation. That is not spirituality. Spirituality involves no spiritism, no spiritualism, no hypnotism, and no mesmerism. It is purely a matter of self-analysis, rising above body consciousness, to know oneself and to know God. On the way, many powers will come up, but to engage in them is a heinous crime. You'll retard your progress. Moreover, a karmic law is very inexorable. You will have to suffer for it someday. People do every sort of thing. There was one man in London who could call the spirits, and then they would talk. £5 was the cost of the admission ticket. Such and such said, "All right, let us go and see. We'll pay." We went. All lights were turned off. It was about 9 or 10 at night. It was pitch dark. He wanted to exert, but nothing could be done. First he sighs, then he again he sighs, and after about half an hour or so, nothing happened. Ultimately, he said, well, the atmosphere is not good, so I am sorry, this cannot be done now. He did not charge us a fee. It can happen, surely. What was the trick? Now I will tell you. He could speak very like a child himself, so he used to speak himself, and people considered it to be a spirit. I have found that there is a black marketing outside, but there is more black marketing in religious circles. They act and pose. A magician came to a morning meditation sitting in Chicago during my first tour. He was a first-class magician from Europe, specially invited to America with the purpose to make me fail. He said, you're going to give me a sitting? Am I permitted to sit? Yes, come on. I gave a sitting. He was sitting at the side, exerting all his work against me. Nothing happened, but he in return fell down, headlong down, unconscious. They had to revive him in my arms, put him into bed and solace him. Well, never mind. You will be all right. Don't worry. Reaction was there. When a wave comes and hits a stone wall, the wave will recede. If there is sand there, then that wave will permeate. So, as a reaction, he fell down unconscious. He was a follower of the other party, specially engaged for that purpose. I treated him, giving him medicine, so that he would be all right. Then he said to the whole gathering over there, I have seen for the first time the love of Christ. What I was being told was all wrong. He passed away. His wife sends me letters even now. The spiritual people don't want all of these things. What is the joy of reading your minds, reading this and that thing, and influencing others? What is there? Some contact with the lower groveling souls who have left the body, little contact with the higher souls. This is only one side of the show. If you engage your attention thus, your further progress is retarded. So I have encountered all these things in India and outside of India. Nothing happened. My master was with me. Of course, that power, God power, is with me. That is His grace. If He leaves me, I'm nothing. I am Mr. Zero. I don't do anything. That is the safest way. It once happened that such and such a homeopathic physician came to India with his wife. He was initiated by our master. People tried to influence his wife to become initiated, but she would not agree. She was a follower of a guru from Europe. Such and such requested of me to kindly do something to his wife so that she might also be initiated. My master told me to take leave for 4 or 5 days and just give time to attend to her. I asked her husband to be present when I spoke to her. The very first question she asked me was, what brought you here to the master? So I explained to her about 10 minutes why I had come. Oh, that is exactly what I want. She then asked, why is it that your master does not appeal to me? This was a very direct question. My previous guru used to influence me and I was affected by him. She continued, I told her to look at me for 2 or 3 minutes and then asked if she could say other than what I wanted her to say. No, she said, that is why your guru has influenced you. You could not say anything other than what he wanted you to say. My master does not influence anybody. He leaves it to your goodwill, free will, and pleasure to find what is what. She did not know English. She was French speaking. All right, if you don't follow the talk given by my master, just simply look at him, sweetly, attentively, nothing more, and then let me know what you find. She sat in one of the talk, and in the evening I asked her, well, how did you find my master? Oh, he was very attractive, very beautiful. By radiation, these things are affected, not by directing your will. I told her that was why my master did not influence her. He leaves everybody to his own free will and pleasure. If I hypnotize you, people then you'll go and you will feel like bankrupt. You may have something for a few minutes, but then you will be bankrupt. Then I have had many chances like that in my life. So that is why I say there is black market outside. But there's more black market within. Mrs. Such and Such was initiated, and I get letters from her even now. Her husband is also initiated. I always accompanied him when he came to my master. But after that, he was misled and did not like his wife to write to me. During my last world tour, I wrote a letter to his wife saying I was going to be passing her way and she might find time to see me. That letter was put aside by her husband. He did not give it to her until after the plane was to leave. But the plane was 3-4 hours delayed. 3 hours after the appointed departure time, he said, "Here's a letter for you." When she saw the letter, "Oh, the plane, he's left." She ran to the airport anyhow. It so happened the plane was not in order. I was staying in a hotel nearby, and at 11 in the evening, she met me there. So God helps, even though the whole world may be against you. That plane was put in order, but when we reached Cairo, it was again quite out of order. After some time, they said it was now in order. "All right," I asked the pilot, "are you sure it is in order?" "Yes, it is all right now." We left Cairo, and on the way, about 200-300 miles distance, one propeller failed. There was danger. If we could return to Cairo within 20 minutes, we would be saved. The plane turned around. But while returning, the other propeller failed, and the plane came down about 2,000 feet all at once. An asterisk, in brackets, a disciple with the party related that soon after boarding the plane, Master assumed a crouching position with his knees to his chest and appeared to be deep in meditation. Continuing with Master's reply, they said we were very fortunate to have landed safely. So it is God who helps, you see. If you have become His, He has to look after you. You have to surrender to Him. That's all. Surrender does not cost you anything, does it? But it is very difficult. To give money is all right. To give away your everything is all right. Hearth, home, everything. To give away your mind leaves nothing short. You have been put on the way to the best that I know, or what the scriptures say. You are fortunate. Go on with it. So the master power takes care. You have everything. Just turn within. My eldest son fell sick. The doctor told me to take 3 days leave as he would definitely die. All right, I took leave. Within these 3 days, I was ordered by my master to go somewhere and to give a talk at Amritsar. Sunday was one of those days, and I thought, the doctor said he would die and you go there. Now, life and death are not in my hand. So I went to Amritsar and gave a talk. It was about 1 or 2 on a summer day. Then I thought, since Bias, where my master lived, was quite close, why should I not have a visit? So I went. I reached there about 2 o'clock. Master was upstairs. He sent for me. "Come up. What about your child?" I never mentioned anything. "Oh, he was sick. The doctor said he was dangerously sick." Master was lying down. He sat up, and I asked, "Master, whoever thinks of you has no burden. Why are you so sad?" "You've just thrown your burden on me, so I took it. So my son never died. He'll take care of you. You need not pray. He knows." So Master Power is always at work. This is wonderful. It is a great blessing to have a living master. So, master is not the physical body, but the God in him. When he sees it is he who is doing, then how can he claim anything? So, go on with your meditations regularly, leaving nothing to him. Only live by what he says. That's all. there may be four or five children of a father. If one simply leaves everything to the father, not asking him for anything, not demanding anything of him, simply leaving everything to his will, what does the father do? He gives all the keys to him. And the next chapter is God's Complaint, February 20, 1971, Evening Talk, Rajpur Road. Always live in the living present, not in the living present, but in the living moment. Did you read my circular on that point? If you care for the living moment, you can care for eternity. Read the circulars and go into them deeply. If you care for the pennies, pounds will be saved. Is it not so? If you keep your mind occupied every moment, then nothing can go wrong. It is given very briefly in the circulars. Brevity is the soul of all creation. The master's sayings are very brief, but to the point. If you watch your present moment, then everything is all right. If you don't care, sometimes for hours you are oblivious, and in those vacant hours, there's so much trouble that comes up which affects your meditations. So when you sit for meditation, forget the past. Forget the future. Live in the living present. This is the one thing that will give you success in your meditations. But the vacant hours in which you've not kept the mind occupied with some constructive thought affect your meditation. So that is the remedy that accounts for all these things. If you would pass your every hour in peace, with no ill will against anybody and no attachment to anybody, if you can pass each hour like that for one day, then continuously for some days, no such ramifications of mind will come up to affect your meditations. You are frittering away your moments of life in such like pursuits. Kabir says, make each breath you take the offering to your master. Do you follow what I have said? Every breath you take, make it the offering to your master. This is very valuable. Kabir says, and we fritter away a fortune. If a dying man wishes to stay for a few minutes longer, he cannot. How frivolously we kill our time. Every moment of life is very valuable. Make the best use of it. When death overtakes us, that is the time you say, oh, had some time been given to me, I would have done this and that thing. Is it not so? But you cannot get time then which you have frittered away so ruthlessly, so cruelly. Kabir says, in one breath he crossed three planes, physical, astral, causal. One breath is very valuable. That is why some saints have been spending their time in threes, 3 minutes, 3 days, continuously, in the remembrance of God, with no moment forgetting. For 3 days, then you may have a week at least. All right, try. One saint says, if you can pass 3 days and nights in sweet, consistent, constant remembrance of God, you go to his feet. 3 days? Can we? It's not much. Let no other thought other than God. Constant remembrance. Even when you eat, don't forget him. Try one day. That will give you good training. We don't care for the trifling things, but that is where substantial things come from. One day is not much. You have been here how many days? So many days. And if you had passed even one day and night in constant remembrance, you would have changed very much. If in 24 hours of the day and night you are doing your best by meditating 5 hours, 4 hours, even then you are not in constant remembrance. And I will stop here for now, and I will continue in my next reading with Master's Grace from here. I was reading from the question and answer sessions of Light of Kripal. I started with chapter 56, midway through, prevention is better than cure. And then I moved on to chapter 57, spiritual healing and other psychic powers, and concluded midway through the next chapter, God's complaint. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. And thank you, Master, for keeping us at your feet.
And thank you, Pradeep, for reading Master's gracious words. There were 54 participants at tonight's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for bringing us together to receive your loving guidance.
So now we have got the man body, you see. Master come and say, well, dear friends, you have had man body so many times, you did not avail of it. You were attached to the outer world, to the material things. Now is the time again when you got the man body, just direct your love to God.